is going on, y'all? And thanks so much again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives. That's right, it's me, Cam. And as always, I know you can't see anything but his hands and his head. It's Camo Kyle Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in studio. Beautiful weather for Texas.
That's right.
And a great spring day. Excited to be here. Got some interesting news I'm going to share with you in the outro, because I want to know if y'all are as freaked out about it as I am.
We spent 5 minutes just a second ago before we even turned the cameras on freaking out together.
Yeah, man, because so. You'll see it when we get to the outro.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
What have you been up to, man?
I've been catching up on all the stuff that I missed after being gone to North Carolina.
Yeah, right.
That, just real quick, folks, you and the Carolinas, that place is beautiful. We went and stayed right outside of Asheville, got to see a bunch of friends, got to hang out with Micah Hanks, got to hang out with Chef Eric Taylor. I had an amazing time. It's beautiful. Dude, it's beautiful country. It's something worth going to see. You people are spoiled that live up there.
I have never been to North Carolina, but I have been to Tennessee.
Yeah, yeah.
And and it kind of borders there.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very, very beautiful up there.
It was nice. It was a good, fun trip. But like I said, you come back and you're playing catch up on everything. So
that's what always happens when you go out of town. Was the food and stuff good?
Yeah, everything. Man, everybody was so kind. Everything was so nice. Even with all the pressures of what's going on with the mask mandates and things like that in different states, it was weird flying. I will say that, because.
Oh yeah. I forgot to ask you.
I don't fly much. You know that. I drive everywhere I like to go. I love the road trip. But when we do fly, I wasn't ready for it's very, very strict. I understand. It's very, very strict. I just wasn't ready for I got to wear a mask the whole time on the plane. And they are watching you like a hawk. So I would get there and get the little AC thing pointed, and then I would pull my nose piece out and let the cold air blow down on my face. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, it was great. I had a wonderful time, met some great people. So it was fun.
That is awesome.
You've just been working. You really haven't
been working,
done anything fun.
Going to baseball practice, the typical thing, running Luke around.
And freaking out. We've been freaking out.
I've been freaking out.
And we'll get into that.
But before we get into that, let's get into some news. Check this out. This comes from one of our listeners named Kurt. Says, hi, guys. My name is Kurt.
Hey, Kurt.
I love your stuff. Very amusing and informative. Otherwise, I wouldn't be willing to send this your way, so we appreciate it. It says, one night I woke up in the middle of what at first I thought was a nightmare. I was on my back, my arms crossed at the wrist, fingers touching my shoulder, right hand on the left shoulder, left hand on the right shoulder.
I got a question, Kurt. Do you sleep in a sarcophagus?
No, I know. I was thinking the same thing. It says, my legs were crossed at the ankles. Now, let me make this very clear.
He's going down a water slide. Go for it.
I never sleep like this. I'm usually on my right side, knees drawn up.
Unless you're a vampire.
Now, I already know where you're going to go with this. The old hag routine, right? But I think you'll soon see that this was being very different. Now, I will admit to having difficulty breathing at the time. Really difficult. And I had company. There was an attractive, dark-haired woman to my left side, on her knees, speaking to me very lowly. I slept on a very thick futon on the floor. She was trying to wake me up and telling me to just breathe. On my right side was a man, also dark-haired. He didn't like me, and I had the feeling there was some kind of physical resistance on my part that he was the recipient of. He was talking to her, talking about just letting me die, that I had hurt him in some way. She was telling him to shut up and to stay out of the way and trying to get me to breathe. So I must not have been paralyzed. At first, again, my arms were pinned across my chest and my legs were crossed and locked together. However, as she was speaking, I managed to roll my shoulders, which allowed me to take in a deep breath of air, and my arms instantly uncrossed. I started to sit up, and suddenly I was alone. This was no dream. There was a definite sense of reality in the room. Ozone seemed to be thick in the air, and I knew that what just happened was very real. There was a pressure on my wrist from where I felt like I had been grabbed or held down. Nothing was moved, but I knew someone had been there. My right hand throbbed a bit along the knuckles, like they feel after you hit something hard. I could still hear the woman's voice pleading for me to regain consciousness and not to die. This was nice of her, I thought. At any rate, I got up, still a little sore around my legs, and I turned on the light. It was around 1:45 in the morning. I spent the rest of the night wide awake, trying to define what I had just seen or what had just happened. So that's my story. I figure if anyone would know where to go with it, it would be you two guys. I've moved to a new address, and nothing like this has ever happened since or before the event. Just in case that makes a difference, I don't know. I know it's kind of cryptic, but I've never written this out before, and everything is still kind of all coming out at once, so I hope you can make heads or tails of it. Please don't dismiss this as some kind of dream. I assure you, it wasn't. I don't do any drugs, I don't drink, but I do know that this happened. Keep up the great work with the show. I always enjoy the sweet and sour combination of your humor and suspense. Wishing you the best, Kurt. He doesn't know what it is. Was it like... I'm sorry, I keep sniffling.
What do you think?
My allergies.
Because I have an idea. What do you think?
I don't know if it's like a premonition of something that's going to happen to him in the future. I don't know if it's a regressed memory from a past life. I don't know if it's just a really... I know. I mean, he says it wasn't a dream. Maybe it was just a very vivid dream. I don't know. What do you think?
It almost feels like maybe he was suffering from something that he was unaware of. Like people that die from aneurysms probably have no idea the aneurysm's coming, right?
Right.
It makes me feel as if maybe these were distant relatives, or maybe the dark-haired woman was a distant relative. Maybe he didn't make out the face. Maybe it's a relative so distant that he has never met this relative. Like maybe this person died 100 years ago. I don't know.
Right.
But it seems like she was in prayer over his astral body, over whatever that
the
is.
The guy on his right side
was like, stop working so hard.
Let him die.
It's just let him go. And to be honest, maybe the letting go part was the gift. Like if you would have just let him die, but maybe her being, hypothetically speaking, her being family, she wanted him there to finish what he had to do. So, Kurt, I don't know, but
I mean,
sounds.
I'm with you. I'm like, I think it like almost is like a memory from a distant relative that passed away long ago.
Or it almost sounds as if like he was in another plane.
Well, we talk about the multiverse all the time. There's an infinite number of Cam Hales. Maybe in this parallel universe,
that's
Kurt
terrible.
Was dead.
Yeah.
Dying.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Crazy story.
Yeah, it's.
But not as crazy as the story you have.
Oh, I won the headline of the week right here with this, right?
All right, let's hear it.
So how I'll lay out how all this stuff started. It started because I've been looking into a lot of troll stories. I am eat
like
up.
People hating on stuff?
No, not those kind of trolls.
Okay.
Like bridge trolls, road trolls.
Yeah.
There are a lot of odd sightings. I mean, all the way out into Arizona. And I mean, that's, I've been looking at a lot of these troll sightings, and this is what caught me, because one of the troll sightings that I looked into referred to the face as almost pig-like.
Oh, no, you've covered stories like this in the past, right?
Yeah, where it's trollish, but not as in like the Tolkien troll that we've been told, or as you see, it's not like the Dungeons and Dragons troll ideas. It's literally like an upright pig. I think of the pig men on like Return of the Jedi, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, down in Jabba's freaking lair or whatever.
Yeah, in Jabba's palace or whatever. So then I see this. And, of course, anything.
I think of, like, Bebop and Rocksteady from the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, there, now you're talking. Yeah. Rocksteady. Yeah. So this headline jumps out at me, right? Of course, you look. Pig-like humanoid observed feeding on deer carcass in upstate New York.
Well, that is one hell of a title.
One hell of a title.
I mean, who couldn't read that story? If you see that headline, you got to read more, right?
Pig-like. Pig-like human. I'm very pig-like when it comes to certain things.
Yeah, like me tonight when I go to the Railhead Barbecue.
You're going to be very pig-like. This is what it says here. I live in upstate New York near a relatively high-traffic hiking trail that runs alongside a stream for a portion. And in mid-March of 2021, I noticed a dead deer near the stream. Pretty common in our area, especially in winter. Went for a walk yesterday evening, and I passed where the deer was and saw something that's been really messing with me ever since. Something was crouched over the dead deer. It looked like a pig, but it was large, the size of a grown man, with loose, sagging skin. Its whole face was kind of sagging and leaking out of its nose and eyes. Now, I've worked with livestock before, so I know what pigs look like. And this pig was all the wrong shape. Its body was swollen and its back legs were splayed out, so I could see that they were really long. Now, I could see that it had virtually no hair. It was just smooth. It was sitting on its back haunches near the deer, and by the time I got close enough to see it, it was staring at me totally still.
That's not good.
No. I have this sick certainty that it noticed me way before I noticed it. I was standing like 20 foot away, still basically on the trail, and it was just staring at me. The deer carcass was kind of strode out everywhere, and it had been messily eaten. Of course, it is a pig. Now, while I was watching the pig, it raised both front legs, and I saw that it ended up not having cleft feet, but large hands, like human hands.
What?
And it reached into the deer and ripped off a chunk from its side, raised it to its snout, and ate out of its hands. Yeah, all this went down in a matter of seconds. And as soon as I saw its hands, I just turned back the way I came on the trail and walked away as fast as I could. Now, I wanted to run, but yeah, I was afraid that it would chase me. So I went back to where I came in, just trying to stay calm. Now, it was the worst walk of my life. I was afraid to look behind me because I was so scared that I would see this big pig following me on his hands and knees. But I made it out. I ran across to the parking lot to my car. Now, I'm just trying to understand this encounter. I want to believe my mind was playing tricks on me. I haven't found anything on the internet about this creature. Please, if anyone has seen something like this, let me know. Any leads are greatly appreciated. FD, which is one of my favorite discs, the FD.
I was like, speaking of discs, yeah. Ricky Wysocki likes to throw the pig.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Nate Perkins likes to throw the FD. So, again, FD, thanks for sending all this stuff in. This is something.
I mean, how do you explain it?
It's a pig man.
I mean, the only pig man I know owns like a restaurant in South Texas and hunts at a helicopter.
Yeah, that's the pig man. Yeah. So again, I like the fact that it's swollen and I cannot think of the squonk. The squonk is that fat, swollen, puffy, pig-like cryptid. It's called the squonk. Oh. I talked about it. It's been in... Oh, man. It's from, I forgot which marsh area that they have seen them. One of the bayous. I don't think it's Louisiana, but it might be Louisiana where the squonk came from.
I've never
from.
Even heard of the squonk.
I may have to cover the squonk and this and stuff on the next cryptid classroom.
Yeah, that sounds like
some squonk. So yeah. There you go. Pigman eating a deer carcass. Sounds like a troll. Sounds like a squonk. We'll see. The squonk, I think I've already talked about it. Anyway, it's a weeping, crying, giant, like, I guess you could swamp pig.
Right. Well, check this out. I've got another one from one of our listeners named Mike. He says, "What's up, bruds? I know it's been a while since you guys have done a piece on shadow people. That's why I'm doing it today. But I wanted to share my experience with this phenomenon. Now, this happened to me from the age of 13 to 21. I'm now 30 years old. I'm not one to be easily frightened, and I feel that all of my mental facilities remain intact. Like you gents, I love to brawl and have trained in many different disciplines over the years. I was even in the United States Army, down in Fort Hood, Texas, within a military intelligence company, and have been a big guy my whole life, 200 pounds being the lightest I've ever cut down to. I paint this picture to illustrate that I'm not a small, timid fellow who is scared of his own shadow. However, even after the regular nightly occurrences, I still feel uneasy and unable to fall asleep at night. This is what would happen nightly. I would wake up fully alert, not being able to move or scream, and I would see a dark figure either next to my bed or only a few feet away. When I say dark, I mean darker than dark. Like the blackness of the room would be dark, but this would be even darker. I saw a variety of these things, and I thought I was losing my mind because of the panic and dread that I would feel. This can only be described as sheer terror. And after having had enough one night, I even chased one out of my room, intending to confront it, after I could move again, of course. My mother and sister came out to see what all the yelling was about, and my mother would recount to others what had happened because I was fully awake and chased what seemed like an intruder. But it vanished without even leaving a trace, which enraged me even more and also terrified me.
Mm-hmm.
We moved around a lot, my mother, sister, and I, but these things still happened to me no matter where we moved to. After these events, I went to have a sleep study done when I was about 19, and it came back all clear, nothing abnormal. To this day, I'm not sure what happened. I'm not saying aliens or demons, but I now know that this world is not black and white and that there's a gray area, and in it, some things are terrifying. I just wanted to share with you guys because I know that you appreciate my story, even though I get chills just reckoning it, or recounting it, sorry. I wasn't into the supernatural until my experience, but I love you guys, and I love to put things out there for everyone to and your listeners to be more aware. Thank you, Mike. He claims, though, that when he was 21, it just all stopped.
It sounds like he was one of those empaths. It sounds like he was tuned in at that moment. So that small window, like we always talk about,
right,
where kids, young ladies, young men are more susceptible to these swayings of the dark side, if you will. And that's kind of what it sounds like, is it sounds, because if you've done sleep studies, if it was affecting you, yeah, you have, if it was affecting Mike that much, his parents or his mother, they would have recognized it earlier. They would have had him in a ton of sleep studies. So he did a great job dealing with it, right? So obviously, whatever it was lingering, was just kept chasing and chasing, but not fully attacking, just lingering, just like watching him. And maybe we always look at it as something negative. Maybe it wasn't super negative. Maybe it was just something there, and it was just its presence was watching over him. I mean,
you're right.
So strange.
You're right. Some of the sightings that people feel ill intent, like something wants to harm them. He doesn't mention that in this case.
Yeah.
He just would see it. It would be scary, but it doesn't mean it was trying to be scary.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's just like my wife's dog. He's big and scary, but he's only really scary if you're like made out of like a milk bone treats or something soft like that. Like he's not, but he gives the appearance of. But it is weird that it cut off at 21. It's just
some people,
gone.
That's the thing with this phenomenon. Some people claim that it follows them their entire life. Some people, more cases than not, that it was just when they were in their teens or young.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like, if this is a demonic force, is it preying on children and young people because it knows they're more susceptible? Like it could turn you to the dark side? And once you're an adult, you're like, I don't know.
Yeah.
If that makes sense or not.
But maybe it prepared him for what he did in the military. Like, I mean, it's one of those things that once you cross that line and you have those experiences, it changes people completely and it prepares them for more than they're realize, I think, at the time.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thanks for writing that in, Mike. And you were mentioning that we haven't done an episode on shadow people in a while. So that's exactly what I'm going to be talking about today. Let's take a break. And when we get back, I'm going to be talking about some scary shadow people sightings. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I hope everybody's doing good out there. As we mentioned before the break, I'm going to be talking about shadow people sightings that many of our listeners have sent in to us over the years. This is one of those topics where I don't really know what people are seeing. Is it associated with sleep paralysis? Yes, it is in some cases, in some cases not. Some people feel that the forces, these are demonic forces, something is appearing to them. Oftentimes people experience having these sightings when they're in a state of depression or under a lot of stress. Some people report seeing them only when they were a child, and as they grow older, they start having less and less encounters. It's a broad subject, but it is fascinating to me, and it's also interesting that how many people are experiencing this. 10, 12, 15 years ago, before we were podcasting, I had heard of shadow beings a few times. I thought it was pretty rare. But now after doing a podcast for more than 8 years, I can tell you it's quite common. You'd be shocked at how many people are experiencing this from all over the world. So let's get into some of these stories. I hope you like them as much as I do. This first one comes into the show, and it says, this started back in the year 2014. I was 19 at the time and was going through a tough period. I'd lost my mom to a long, drawn-out cancer battle the year prior. I was struggling with that, and I didn't know what to do when I was in school. I was in my first year of college. and was dragging myself to a job I absolutely hated 5 days a week. These entities seemed to be drawn to negative emotion. Grief, regret, loneliness, rage, malice, the list goes on and on. Don't get me wrong, many people have it much worse than I had it at the time, but I was definitely in the beginning stages of a long, dark battle with depression. All that said, I'll get to the encounters. I'll begin with the first experience, which to this day remains the most interesting paranormal event I've been involved in. I can list about six in my life. It was roughly 8:30 a.m. in August of 2014. I remember it because it was a day before a friend and I were going up to the mountains for a camping trip. I had the day off, as we were going to go out and get the last few things we needed. We were going to get all packed up and then have a barbecue before calling it a night. I was still sitting on my bed fooling around on my guitar, waiting to hear from him so we could run our errands. My dad was the only other person home at the time and was in the shower getting ready for work. It was a sunny morning, so the entire upstairs hallway along with my room was well lit. As I was sitting there playing, I felt that somebody was watching me. I could hear the shower still running. It shared a wall with my dad's room, and I knew for a fact my siblings were both gone for the entire week. There was nothing anywhere in sight. So I go back to riffing around, and about a minute later, the feeling was still there. I scan the room, and boom, there it was. Leaning in from the hall, one hand on the side of the doorway, the other arm dangling down the side of its half-exposed torso, was a roughly 6-foot-tall silhouette of a person. It was about 75% opaque. Imagine you're fooling around with the opacity slider on a photo editor. That's the only way I could describe it. And it had 1 foot that was in view. The rest was behind the wall, still in the hallway. It had no discernible features, yet I somehow know that we made eye contact. This went on for what felt like 30 seconds, but in reality, was more likely only 10. Neither of us moved for the duration. The only sound was from my dad's shower. I felt an incredible sense of calm come over me. The shadow gave off a sense of curiosity. Nothing malicious, nothing intrusive. Nothing was going through my mind other than wanting to communicate with it somehow. Instead, I kept silent, feeling that if I made a noise, this thing would leave. Now, this sounds odd, but without verbally or physically communicating, it acknowledged me. And I it. Then it took its hand off the doorway, turned and walked down the hall. I wasn't paralyzed in fear or anything, but I gave about 5 seconds before I got up to check the hallway, which, of course, was empty. I felt like it was just checking up on me. And I can't stress enough how serene the whole encounter was. I was completely calm, at total peace in those moments. I didn't tell my dad or anyone at all until I left my girlfriend at the time and my best friend, the guy I was going camping with. I let them know that maybe about this story probably a month or so later. The entire situation was clear as day. I'd been up for 2 hours and was actively engaged in my guitar, so I was completely lucid, and I won't attribute any of this to being tired or groggy. I can't get over how surreal the whole thing was. I don't get the sense that it was my mom or anyone else in any way. But the only conclusion I can draw is that the being was just curious and checking in on me for some reason. I'm thankful for this, as my next and only other encounter with a shadow person would be much more malicious. Encounter number 2 took place sometime in October of 2014 at my friend's house. He and I were just getting home from the gym and came through his back door. This was around 2 or 3 in the afternoon in his well-lit dining area, and we were the only ones at home. He had just a few weeks prior woken up to his 14-year-old dog floating lifeless in the pool. which I think is relevant to this situation. We walked in, mid-conversation, put our keys and wallets down on the kitchen counter, and both of us just stopped talking. I don't know how, but we both had a sense that something wasn't right. As we walked into the adjoining dining room, we both saw it. A roughly 8-foot-tall, completely opaque silhouette of a man wearing a classic-looking top hat and a trench coat. This thing was different than my first encounter. It not only obstructed the light where it stood, but seemed to consume it. Its height estimate I gave doesn't account for the hat. This thing was truly massive. The room was ice cold, and the instant sense of dread filled the air. This one, too, had no discernible features aside from the hat and the coat outline. We both were locked in its gaze. The encounter went on for about 5 seconds, and then the being floated a foot or so off the ground and vanished before our eyes. Once we'd checked the whole house and collected ourselves, we sat down and confirmed that we both saw what we saw and felt what we felt. This felt ominous. This felt like a warning, which I've read that the Hat Man can often be. Yet nothing happened to either of us in the immediate future. I can't get over the feeling of dread in that room, though. It was as if the entirety of human suffering was encapsulated into a corporeal form and placed right in front of us. It felt like it was amplifying our negative emotions at the time. My friend's grief over having to pull his limp, lifeless dog from his pool only a few weeks before, and my depression. It seemed to thrive off of them. Nothing physically happened to either of us, but we both had the feeling that it wanted to. It could have touched us. We both felt completely drained once it had dissipated, and we couldn't shake the sense of sadness for a while. My friend had never experienced anything paranormal, so this shook him to his core. It took a while for him to get over it, while I was more just curious afterwards. Why did this happen so close to my other encounter? And why was it so drastically different? I still can't answer these questions, but in the years since, have been engrossed in learning all I can about shadow people. These are the events exactly as they happened from my perspective, and would love some feedback if anyone has similar experiences. I know there will be doubters out there, and that's fine. These things sound like a badly written creepypasta if you've never had them happen to you. But yeah, thanks. Hopefully your takeaway from this and that all of these experiences are not bad. The feelings I had from that first one have never fully left me, and I'm very thankful for it to even have happened. So wow, man, terrifying story in the second case. The first one, he said he felt like it was just something checking up on him. But I don't know what they saw, but I've heard other people talk about how they're not always malicious. Very cool. Okay, let's get on with the second story. Check this one out. It says, hey guys, first off, I want to thank the both of you for your amazing show. It has helped me through some very difficult times. Every time I listen, I walk away entertained and enlightened. I've heard you guys do multiple shows on shadow people or the Hat Man, and I finally feel like sharing my encounters with the two of you. I was at a very low point in my life when I first saw a shadow person or figure or thing, whatever you want to call it. I had just been with someone for 10 years and had a baby 2 years prior with them and was forced to move out with my child into my mom's house due to my relationship finally crumbling and ending. The person I had the child with turned out to be a real loser. He had completely changed during the 10 years of our relationship. So, I was under a lot of stress. I was distraught because of the recent breakup, and I was exhausted because my child requires special needs, and the father was completely absent for weeks, unwilling to help out in any way. My mother, too, would not let me mourn the loss, or rest, or even take a week or two just to grieve and fall apart to eventually feel better. She said she would help me, but then she didn't. Caring for my toddler was my responsibility, but I definitely could have used some help, believe me. So, I had a couple of nervous breakdowns already, before being visited. I was considering taking my own life, just because of one of my worst fears of becoming a single, unmarried mother who had been cheated on had finally come true. But at night, I would eventually fall asleep before waking completely. That's when I started to have these encounters. One night, there was a figure staring right into my face. It was the blackest black I'd ever seen, and it had red or yellow eyes. Its eye color was almost undefinable for some reason. I remember red. It stuck out to me, but it wasn't quite red. It was like a yellow red. Anyways, its shape wasn't definable either. I just know it didn't have any arms or legs, at least not in my first encounter. It terrified me the first time, but the moment I blinked, I was awake, and it was gone. I was staring at the place it just was at, and I couldn't see anything anymore. Now, these encounters would continue over time. This happened 3 or 4 more times, and the second time, it was exactly the same way. The third time again, and probably the fourth time, it startled me so much that I fell out of my bed and hit my face on the nightstand. That was particularly terrifying because I basically was falling right on top of whatever this was. I had the terrible feeling of dread deep down in my soul. It's hard to explain it, but I felt fear like I've never experienced in my life before or since. Whatever this was, it wasn't a dream. I can clearly remember lying awake in my bed, staring at this thing, afraid to move. It was dark black and in the shape of a human. I could clearly see the head, shoulders, arms, and torso, and of course these terrible-looking, piercing red eyes. It was on the right side of my bed, about 4 feet from me, just staring at me intently. Then it began to slowly move closer to me, never breaking eye contact. I tried to remain still and just stare back at it, but I couldn't take it. And as it got only a few inches from my face, I lost it and jumped out of my bed to my left, where I hit my face on the nightstand that stood next to it. After I stood up and screamed, it was gone. Nothing was in the room. I slept with the lights on for the next few months. I got a black eye from that and 2 small scars above my eyelid and under my eyebrow that still remain. Ever since then, I haven't seen the figure again, but there still are times at night I feel things in my room, where even closing my eyes, I can see exactly where all of my furniture is in my room, and I can feel and see where these presences are. I tend to block them out. I sleep a certain way to avoid looking at the side of the bed when I wake up. I like to keep my eyes closed tightly, and I even cover my eyes with something so I don't see the light in the room, even with my eyes shut. I don't know what they are, but I think they feed on negative emotions. Either that, or feel concerned, or are warning us to get out. I knew I had to get out of my mom's house because she is emotionally abusive. I don't really understand what these things are, but mine might have felt concerned. It was just shocking to see something like that standing right next to my bed, right up to my face. It said nothing. Before seeing it clearly, I almost thought it was a child. I wish I knew why it was there. Again, thank you guys for all that you do. Your friend, Ashley. Well, thank you, Ashley. I don't know what you saw either, but I do like the idea of like this thing is trying to help you. It's trying to scare you. It's giving you a warning sign to get out of your mom's house. She's abusive. Your partner that you recently left is abusive. It was telling you to make a change in your life. I mean, that's a pretty cool concept. Or it's a demon and it's trying to kill you. I don't know which, but interesting story. Nonetheless, let's check out this next one. It says, my experience takes place when I was around 6 years old in the late 80s. Living in the town of Niagara Falls, Canada, I was at that age where I was on my last nights of sleeping in my parents' bed every once in a while, and this is where it all happened. One night, I awoke sometime around 1 a.m. I was lying on the right side of the bed on my back. There was a wall approximately 3.5 feet on my left side, with a doorway on the left corner of the room. towards the end of the bed, and a nightstand right beside me with a digital alarm clock with green glowing digits on it. The right side wall had a window with these horizontal shutters that you can adjust the light filtering through. On the far wall, at the foot of the bed, there was a shadow of a man. It was life-sized, and there seemed to be an uneven, jagged shadow below where his knees would be, stretching to the left corner of the room, as if he was standing behind a bunch of rocks or a rock wall. The figure would bend down and pick up an object, which I assumed was a rock, that was about the size of a large grapefruit, and almost seemed to underhand toss it towards the left corner, as if bowling it. After he finished tossing it, he would quickly rush to the end of the wall as if chasing after it, and vanish into the left corner. As soon as this scene finished, directly to my left were two more shadow people that would appear on the wall. A shadow that appeared to be a woman would appear at the far right corner of the wall closest to me, and walk towards the center of the wall and embrace the other shadow of a man who came in from the opposite corner directly beside me. The couple embraced and kissed before they turned back and walked swiftly away from each other. The woman would disappear once she reached the corner of the room, as if walking beyond the room. But the man did something far more interesting. Instead of disappearing into the corner like the woman, the shadow would transition around the corner from the wall beside me to the wall directly behind me and then step into the wall. Only, he wasn't in the same shadow form as before. As the shadow stepped towards the wall, it seemed to shrink down to approximately 3 inches tall and slowly float down between my face and the green glowing alarm clock, giving the figure this neon green glow as it passed in front of the clock. It slowly floated from my left side to my right, and it maintained its green glow and then would fade out. It was hard to make out any of kind of detail about the small glowing figure. It did seem to have some transparency, but I couldn't make out any kind of detail about it, except that it still retained its human form. Now, after this figure would fade away, my attention would be brought back to the far wall again at the foot of the bed, where the shadow of the man bowling the rock would appear again, and the whole sequence would start over, lasting about 30 seconds. Now, this scene would repeat itself 6 or 7 times in a row, from start to finish, and in the exact same way, in the exact same order. Every time that damn glowing figure would float across me, I wanted to reach out and touch it, but I never did. I had a feeling that if I moved, it might disappear. I never had the feeling of being afraid or any kind of discomfort from it. After it all ended, I simply went to sleep. Now, the next morning, I remember trying to explain this experience to my father, but he said it was just a dream that I had. But I'm telling you, this definitely wasn't a dream. In my teens, I mentioned this story again to my dad, hoping he would have more input about it all, and he just passed it off as my imagination and trickery of the light filtering through the blinds as cars passed. I'm now 37 years old, and I still remember this experience as if it happened just last night. I truly believe this experience was a real phenomenon, and unfortunately, I've never had a shadow experience since then. Thanks for letting me share this experience with you all. I love your show. All the best to you, Jason. Wow, Jason. That's a cool story. I like the idea of it. They looked like shadow beings, but it's like you were watching a scene from a long time ago. And for whatever reason, I've heard of similar ghost stories, which that's another thing. I mean, shadow beings, ghosts. I mean, I don't really know what to call it. You can see clearly on like these ghost hunter shows where these people go to these abandoned asylums or houses or something, and they'll have security footage or something, and you'll see like a ghost move by, but the ghost looks like a shadow, right? So I think a lot of it's a difference in words, but it's sort of the same phenomenon. Anyways, I like the idea of you seeing a scene and how it would repeat itself, play itself out over and over in the exact same order, the exact same way. The woman and the man embrace. There's another guy over here building a rock wall or tearing a rock wall down. That's pretty cool. Check this out. It says, Dear Kyle and Cam, my name is Sean Wick, and I live in Gillette, Wyoming. I wanted to share some ongoing experiences I've been having in my townhouse, going back to when I first moved in about 6 years ago. I was hoping you might have some insight into what it might be. I have some ideas, but truthfully, I haven't heard of many people experiencing what I have. It started almost as soon as my son and I moved in. I started waking up late at night from a nightmare, and each time it was a little bit different. Each one had similarities, but the people in it were different. Plus, the thing scaring me was also different. The one common theme was that I was part of a group of people who were being killed off by a common threat. One of the first nightmares was being trapped inside an old bar with my friends, and it caught fire. I was the only one who survived. Sometimes, I would be in a suicide cult or hunted by a serial killer. No matter the differences, they always ended the same. I survived, but everyone with me would die. They were uncharacteristic of the typical dream or nightmare I would normally have. The strangest part for me was that when I woke up, I would have a migraine, and I would wake up from every single one of these dreams. I went from having a migraine once a year to every couple of weeks. I thought that perhaps fear was the cause of the headache, but these dreams were the only time they ever happened. Then I thought perhaps there was some type of gas in the house affecting me, but my son wasn't affected at all. I went as far as getting CO2 detectors and having a friend check for radon. There was nothing. My house was clear. 9 months ago, I woke up from one of these nightmares around 2 a.m., and my head started throbbing at once. I needed some ibuprofen and answer nature's call, so I jumped out of bed and walked to a floor lamp that was at the foot of my bed to the left. To the left of the lamp is my computer desk, and the lights of the modem gave off a soft glow. To my right, just before I turned on the lamp, I saw what could only be described as a three-dimensional shadow standing at the foot of my bed. It was shaped like a person who stood around 5 foot tall, and the craziest thing was, the shadow was void of all light. My room was pretty dark, but this shadow was much darker than that. I had a panic, half-asleep moment where I thought, I found an intruder in my home. I glanced to my left just long enough to turn on the lamp. When I looked back, it was gone. Right then, I heard pounding footsteps at the end of my hallway outside of my bedroom, and then go up a small flight of stairs. However, my bedroom door was still closed. I ran to the right, a couple of steps past where I saw the shadow, and swung open my bedroom door. I flipped on the hall light, running straight ahead, then turned right to run up a small set of stairs. I searched my entire house, leaving every light on as I went. There was no one in my house, including my son. He was staying over at my mom's house. All of my windows and doors were shut and locked. There was no physical person that had been in my house that morning. Soon after, I saged the house and had a friend pray for blessings. I still have the nightmares with headaches, but only every once in a while. My house had some haunted activity. Things will move or I'll hear strange sounds I can't identify. But none of this activity seems malevolent to me. I can't find the previous owners of the house. And besides, how does one start a conversation like that? The biggest question is, what did I see that night? And is that the reason I'm having the nightmares? Perhaps you guys might know something to help. Thanks for taking the time to read this. Feel free to use it if you want. Even my name and location, it's all good. I'm a big fan of the podcast. Thank you for doing what you do. Take care and be well, Sean. Well, I don't know. Are the terrible nightmares causing the shadow person to manifest? Is the shadow person causing the horrible nightmares? I don't know. But one common thread in all of these stories so far is not all of them seem malevolent. Like, not everybody gets the impression this thing wants to do them harm. I think that's interesting because just the way the thing looks, it seems like it wants to hurt you, right? But maybe that's not the case. Shocking either way. Check out this next one. It says, "Hey guys, first off, I just want to say I really enjoy your podcast and thank you for it. It's great to listen to. I love hearing stories of cryptids, generally all things weird and spooky. I come from a small village in Ireland. When I was growing up, the population was somewhere around 900, and it's over 1,600 now. It's been growing at a steady increase over the last few years. Now, in the early 90s, when I was a kid, pretty much every adult had some sort of ghost story. I'm not even kidding. The amount of stuff I was told was ridiculous, sometimes laughable, but quite often terrifying. Personally, I've had a number of experiences. I know it sounds convenient, but they had a profound effect on my life and still shake me now when I think about them. They're for another time, though. I was really surprised that you guys have talked about the Hat Man, mainly because I thought this guy was only based in my country, Wexford. I never imagined that it was such a common occurrence across the world. When I was 8 years old, I had a pal who was over at my house when he told me something that his father had told him and the rest of the family when they were eating dinner the night before. His father was working as a farmhand, and on this day was shearing sheep. He said he got a feeling that someone was watching him. He looked around and saw nothing out of the ordinary and continued working. He would again feel a presence around him, though, and this time when he turned, he saw a huge man. A man wearing a top hat and what looked like a cloak. He could not make any of the features, though. He just said that the man was black. He was just all black. My mother was there when my friend was retelling his father's story, and she would follow it with a story of her own. Well, it was her mother's, my grandmother. She told us that her mother had often spoke about seeing and being followed by a man in a top hat and cloak. My grandmother was not from the village where I lived. She was from a town 9 miles away. It's a decent-sized town, I guess, and it has plenty of its own stories there, too. Her house was located in a little cul-de-sac that was at the back of an old supermarket. There was a shortcut to her house, a small, narrow alley that stretched the length of the store all the way past her house. There were no lights on the actual alley itself, and the walls on either side were pretty high, for the most part. So when it was night and it was dark, it was really dark down that alley. The only light you could see was the light back down at the end that shone in from the road where the store was. My grandmother was playing bingo one night, and sure enough, like any other night, she walked up that alley to get home quicker. Halfway up, she heard footsteps behind her. She stopped and did something she always advised her kids against doing. She turned around to see what was there, but there was nothing. There was nothing there. The long, narrow laneway was completely empty. She began to walk again, and once again she heard something behind her. She turned, and this time the Hat Man walked out of the shadows and stood there tall and menacing, a dark silhouette that almost blocked all of the light at the end of the alley. She told my mother that she asked him what he wanted, and something else. He didn't answer, though she had just turned back and walked home. I'm not sure if she ever saw him again. She was old school, though, and hard as nails, but on the inside, she was a cushion. The next time I heard something about him, I was around 20. I was having a few pints with some friends. There was a lock-in, which there normally was and is in the pubs in my village. When we sat down at a table where some old stories were being told, a guy got to talking. Now, this man is straight as they get. He's a no BS kind of guy. A country chap who worked his butt off during the week and enjoyed a pint on the weekends. He said he was walking home one night. It was black, dark. Man, once you get off the ferns in my village. Well, back then, at least, there were no lights till the next town or village. So, he's walking home when, just like my grandmother, he heard someone walking behind him. He stopped and looked back. And this happened several times, to the point where it sounded like the footsteps were right behind him. He stopped and looked back again, There was nothing there. He turned back to face the way he was going, and there, standing in front of him, was a tall man with a top hat. He said the man was jet black, so black that he was even more dark than black, and the blackest of nights he was darker than that. He said the darkness surrounded him. He was frozen, terrified that the hat man walked past him and said nothing, disappearing into the night. The guy who told us this was visibly shaken by what happened and had nothing to gain by making something like that up. We even walked with him home that night. I heard two other stories about him, but they are different. He is far more aggressive in them, and I'm not sure whether or not I can believe those sources. I have many stories, guys, that I could write a book about him. Like you, I don't really like the paranormal side of things, though. I like Bigfoot because I've heard you say he's out in the woods far away from me. But the paranormal, I have no problem saying this, it scares me. I could write another book and base it on my own experiences, I swear to that. My teenage years, man, yeah, I had some pretty life-changing events that took place in those years. Sorry for rambling on. I know hearing all this sounds too fantastic to be true, but I really have been told so many things by so many people and by that I could vouch for, that I most definitely believe that they believed what they were telling me was true. Ireland is a scary place. When you really get to it, when you let yourself go and accept it for what it is, I'm glad to hold on to so many different tales that cover so many different things, but it's also a bit of a burden. If you ever want to know anything else, just let me know. I'd be happy to share it with you. All the best. Peace. Shay. Well, thanks, Shay. Pretty cool stories. I like that there's other people like friends and grandmothers and stuff that are sharing this experience. That lets me know that this isn't something new. It's not something that's happening now, that this has been going on for who knows how long. People are experiencing these things. I've spoken to people in person that have had shadow people encounters or hat man encounters for whatever reason. Why does it have a hat on? Why does it wear a cloak? I don't have any answers for you. But I do like the stories. Let's take a break. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives.
Folks, I know you've heard Kyle say this, you've heard me say this, but it really is true. Expanded Perspectives is solely supported by you, our listeners. And we make Expanded Perspectives free for y'all to listen to, but it definitely isn't free for us to make, right? We can't produce it for nothing. And you can support the show monthly by signing up for Expanded Perspectives Elite. Become an elitist. All you got to do is go to expandedperspectives.com.
And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I hope you like those stories, even though they are scary.
I don't like shadow people stories, bro.
Man, it's a terrifying phenomenon, and it happens not just here, but everywhere. We've gotten sightings from all over. I know that we've got emails from somebody in Poland. I got an email one time from somebody in Malaysia. I got an email from somebody in, I think it was Argentina. I mean, people that listen to the show, yes, all over. And this phenomenon happens to people. I wonder how often this happens that it's unreported. Like, people are terrified. They don't come forward because they don't listen. Everyone's scared of losing their mind, right? Like your mother-in-law with Alzheimer's and things like that. I mean, people are terrified of that. So when you start having these episodes, even from a young child, I'm sure there's people that are like, I don't want to say anything because I don't want my mom and dad to think I'm crazy. Yes. I don't want my spouse to think I'm crazy.
Yes.
Then you're scared. It's like, maybe I am crazy.
Well, and I also
I always wonder when people go down the crazy trail, do they know they're crazy?
Or, I mean, what would make it maddening is you were seeing these things and you're reporting these things and everyone's telling you that you're crazy,
yeah.
But yet you are constantly seeing it. And like, you know, it's right there. I mean, to me, that's the craziest of the whole. Yeah. And it's also how many people have an experience with shadow beings where you catch them out of the corner of your eye and you're like, was that somebody over there?
I've done
that. Then you're like, nah, I guess not. Well, what if it was? What if? And the other thing to me that's scary about shadow beings is it's like they can jump ahead. Like, you'll be watching them. There'll be reports of like, we saw it in this building. We left the building. You turn two blocks later and there it is at the corner. It's like the greatest horror monster in the world is just a shadow, because it would just be impending over you constantly till it just drove you mad. And it just, yeah, it's terrifying. It's one of those things that I don't even want to. We've talked about it. I don't like to entertain it because I don't want to invite it in some unknowing way.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. And that's another reason why I don't go like looking for ghosts or yep things like that, because I don't want it to attach itself to me and bring that home. That's all I need, right?
Yeah.
Is a tag. But you don't hear shadow beings being sighted while people are camping. You never hear it while people are out on the beach.
Also, too, though, but like when they're having fun. You never hear anybody go, man, do you see all those shadow beings out there at Disney World?
Yeah.
Man, while we were like wakeboarding,
I was jet skiing. Yeah. I saw a shadow person.
I've never seen one snow skiing.
Slalom skiing.
Yeah. They don't like fun. They like it. And all jokes aside, it's probably, too, due to the fact that they want to separate you from the group. It's way easier. I mean, like, what's the easiest way to do anything? Any predator separates from the herd, breaks one out, peels one off, one alone, and then you can do stuff with that one.
Yeah, that's why I think they appear or reveal themselves when you're at your most vulnerable, at night, in your bedroom,
yeah,
when you're in bed.
And like we talked about younger, like what Mike had even written in at his younger age.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, he's not near as impressionable at 30, seeing the things that he's seen and grown. I mean, like, you get to be an adult, male, female, whatever. When you get to be an adult, you've seen some stuff. So it has to be even more terrifying to hit you with that and it to make a difference.
So speaking of terrifying, I kind of alluded to this at the intro, at the beginning of the show, that something that's been freaking me out.
Folks,
I got a small clip here.
He's been ear beating for a while about this. I've heard how freaked out he is for quite some time now.
There's been new information, new video and photos released by the government showing UFOs.
Yep.
Flying around our warships. And dude, I have to tell you, it's freaking me out. I got a little clip
here.
Let's
play it. Let me get my headphones. Yeah, I got to listen. I can't play it on here. All right, let's do this.
Just a few days ago, the Pentagon confirmed that a 2019 video of a UFO sighting is actually real. It was a UFO. The video shows a pyramid-shaped object flying over a U.S. Navy destroyer. This is the very first time the public has seen video from this incident. The UFO footage was leaked to a filmmaker called Jeremy Corbell, who joins us tonight to explain all of this. Jeremy, thanks so much for coming on. Tell us where this was shot. What are we looking at here?
Yeah, so I obtained and released videos and photographic evidence of UFOs swarming our warships. So the green video is night vision. That's from the USS Russell. It wasn't just one pyramid-shaped craft. It was multiple. These were swarms. I also released with my mentor in journalism, George Knapp, also released from the USS Omaha, which looks like thermal imagery. He released three photos the day prior to mine. So we're trying to get this out to continue elevating the conversation, because it's very important we have it right now.
You think? I mean, those are not weather balloons. Those are clearly autonomous aircraft of some kind that are, as you put it, swarming U.S. military craft. So there are two options.
Under intelligent control. These are craft under intelligent control, and they're flying with impunity, Tucker, within our airspace, and they can outmaneuver, outperform anything that we seem to have. Their mode of transportation seems magical to us. It's unbelievable, and now finally we're having a rational, sober discussion about this, because we don't know what these are. We don't know the nature of the technology. We need to find out who's operating them and also what the intent is. So it's a really exciting time to be learning about UFOs.
You can turn it off.
Because now we're having a complete...
I mean, that's the gist of it. And I know people are dying to see the footage. I'll put links to it in the show notes, and you can watch it. The clip isn't very long. But, I mean, like, what Jeremy's talking about is 100% right.
Yes.
I think we should be more worried about what's going on. I don't necessarily know that extraterrestrials are... have bad intentions for humans. I don't know that. But I do know that, like Stephen Hawking brought up years ago, anytime a civilization runs into a new one, it never works out good for one of the civilizations.
Never. Yeah.
Never. They are appearing. There's a lot of questions I have. First of all, why are they revealing themselves now? Like, it just seems like over the last 2 years, mm-hmm. 3 years, they've been ramping up whoever, whatever these are. They're not hiding anymore. Where before, or, you know, this is just me growing up, you hear the stories of UFOs, people see them, you had all these sightings, but the government, you know, didn't really come forward with a lot, even though I do think that they know a lot more than what they're letting us know. But for whatever reason, now they are saying, like, look, this is real. We don't know what it is. I think we should be a little freaked out about it. Like, you watch the movie Independence Day, when the spaceships arrive, that's kind of what's happening, but just not in a Hollywood dramatic scene where it rolls in through the clouds right over the city of New York. These things, whatever they are, they're not worried by our warships, which, I mean, we have one of the best militaries in the world. They're openly just like saying, hey, here we are.
What are you going to do to stop it?
What are you going to do
about it? Yeah.
Have they always been here? How have they been here? When did they arrive? Did they arrive thousands of years ago? Did they truly arrive in the 50s with the beginning of the atomic age? Apparently, they come out of the water. So, I mean, I think that could be where they are. I have so many questions.
I have a feeling, not to cut you off, but I have a feeling like they've been here a long, long time. And the reason only reason I say that is because thousands of years ago, there's way fewer people, there's way less travel because there's way fewer people, and there's way less ability to share information. If it's not verbal, it doesn't get shared, right?
Sure.
And then the account we know changes over time. It was easier to hide here back then. What if they're refugees from another planet? This is where they've chosen to hide from whatever scared them off of where they are.
I mean, it's possible. Like I said... We don't necessarily know they have bad intentions for us.
Yeah.
But
if they could do what they're doing now, then we would stand no chance against it if they decided they wanted to fight.
But they seem unimpressed by our military power.
Yes.
They're basically showing themselves. They're not showing up at a T-ball game.
No.
They're not showing up at a circus, even though circuses don't really exist anymore in the States. They're showing up to warships. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And
they're not showing themselves just in the middle of the fields.
Is the government coming out with it now because they know that there's some big event about to happen? I don't know. But I do know, instead of worrying about the coronavirus, instead of worrying about the Masked Singer, instead of worrying about who one of the Kardashians is dating, we might want to pay a little attention to the extraterrestrial force that's arriving and revealing itself on this planet.
This lingering around. And my other question is, is the military now actively pursuing the hotspots of where they know they're going to have these encounters, and now we're encroaching on them? Hence the reason we're getting more footage, we're getting more interaction, is more and more people are like, oh, well, we know they're over here. Let's go look over there. If that's what's ramping it up. Because we've already heard all the stories. Everybody listen, if you haven't, anything that Commander Favor has talked about is unsettling when you hear about these masses from the 90s coming up out of the water and taking things down. So we know it's been active. It feels like the movie The Abyss.
It's freaky. And you know, and now that we know that this is a real thing, I mean, it begs the question, like all the stories you've ever heard about abduction.
Every bit of it.
It's probably real. I mean, if it looks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's probably a duck.
Yep.
So let me point out one more thing, that they may not be here for bad intentions. Maybe they're here to actually help and save humanity. And what I mean is, just follow, this is just a theory. With all the craziness that's going on in the world right now, what would make mankind bond and step together is to face an otherworldly force. Like, it would make us come together. Like, remember the famous speech Ronald Reagan gives?
Yes.
Like, all of our differences with one another would soon go away if we had an opposing force to team up on. Team Earth versus team them. Maybe they're revealing themselves to try to get us to be a team.
That they don't want to fight.
They don't want to do anything, and then they're going to go away. They're just actually here, like...
It's a good point.
Interstellar ambassadors trying to say, look, you fools, you guys stop all the fighting. You kids.
Yeah.
Stop all the bickering. You know, like when you hear a bunch of kids fighting in the other room with a toy, you're like, look, what are y'all doing?
There's more important things than the bickering.
This is going to make us all come together. And once we do, then they're going to go away.
Or maybe, again, that's what you're talking. Part. They show up and they show us, not by force or a proposed danger, but they show us, look, there's more to the this than you're bickering on the planet.
You're fighting, you're destroying Mother Earth, you're doing all this stuff. It's terrible. Like, wake up.
Yeah, we'll show you. And if, because all it would take was one of them to show up to anyone, or let's say there's 200 or 300 of them start landing in different cities and start just giving people rides in the middle of the day. Just like, you want to go? We're going to go show you what Jupiter's like. We'll be back in 15 minutes. And you just choo, choo, and you can, and that stuff goes on. Oh, next thing you know is everybody's like, dude, they're awesome.
Yeah. These abductions, they weren't sinister. They were taking stuff, trying, and then they were working in their own laboratories to try to help us.
Now, some of them might have been sinister.
It's either that or they're here and they're going to kill us all. They're going to mine.
They're going to wipe us off. Yeah.
They're going to injectables into our brain for Blarcy or whatever, or they're going to consume our souls or whatever else.
That's a solid point in itself, too.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I want to be optimistic.
I'm going to try to be optimistic.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
That's me, too. I'm trying to be optimistic.
Or the podcast is over and, you know, we're going to be enslaved.
Yeah, they're just going to, like, gelatinize us and use us for energy or something, like the Matrix, or I don't know.
I don't know. Tell us what you think, folks. If you have any scary stories about shadow people around extraterrestrials, whatever you think or anything else, don't forget you can email the show, expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. You can call the show, 888-393-2783. I hope everybody out there has a good week. Don't forget to check out our YouTube channel. Even if you're not a big YouTube guy or girl, just go over there, subscribe. You don't even have to watch it. It just helps out the show. We're trying to grow stuff over there. We got Cameron's Cryptid Classroom. We got Unusual Encounters. And we've got a lot of excited stuff going on. What do you got planned for the rest of your week?
I'm going to see my newest great nephew.
Awesome. Yeah, that's
so
right.
So I have a great niece that's 6, a great nephew that's about 2.5, a great nephew that's just barely over a year. And then I'm about to, and then we just had, like, literally a week ago, not even that long ago, 5 days ago, another great nephew. And so I'm going to check that one out this weekend.
That sounds awesome. We are going to be celebrating Pop-Pop's birthday. He turns 70 years old.
I can't stop him. Can't stop him.
The human cockroach is still alive and kicking. So that's what we're going to be doing. But outside of that, just the normal stuff. So that's about all the time we have for this episode, folks. Thanks. Stay safe. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.